We are joined once again by Larry Nightengast to look at the Memorandum of Understanding between the Christina School District and the state of Delaware and exactly where that process of implementing that MOU is at. Larry, we appreciate you taking time to join us on The Green this week.
Glad to be here, Tom.
The reconfigured schools have been open for just over a month now, and the Early Learning Center is also open. The start of the school year was a little bit rocky, but that probably should not have come as a surprise, right? And have things settled in after kind of the initial rollout?
Yeah, well, you know, we talked about this in the spring when I talked about and reported on the progress of implementing the MOU. And we knew then that some portions of the buildings, especially Byard and perhaps Bancroft, would not be 100% ready for the first day of school, which with the new calendar was August 12th this year for the Christina schools in the city of Wilmington. And that's exactly what happened. It took a couple of weeks longer for everything to fall into place. However, I do understand that the schools are running pretty smoothly right now.
But this was never just about changing the school configurations. The MOU promised a lot of supports and so-called wraparound services. What's in place right now in that piece of this whole process?
Okay, well, you know, two things that are, you know, very, very well established right now. First, professional development programs have been set up for the staff members at Bancroft and Byard. Teachers and staff are getting extra training and planning time throughout the year. The second is that student health centers have been established at both Bancroft and Byard, and the services that they provide include behavioral health counselors and family crisis therapists. However, the spaces that are being used for these health centers at both schools, they still need reconfiguration so that they will provide separate areas for each service offered. So, you know, they've got enough space there, but the setup, the configuration of, you know, where the desks and the offices and the meeting rooms are isn't quite what they want. That's something that's probably not going to get fixed next year. Maybe, maybe next summer, and then they'll be in better shape in a physical sense next year, for the next school year.
You also noted in your piece after-school programs are close to coming online. What are some of the key after-school programs that people can expect to see as part of this whole process?
Okay, well, again, as you indicate, the menu for these programs hasn't quite been finalized. Contracts with the nonprofits that will provide the services still need to be signed. Some budget details have to be worked out. However, after-school programs that had been operating in the past at Byard and Bancroft are remaining, and more are going to be added, in part because of the additional grade levels at each school. At Byard, look for supplemental lessons in English, language arts, and math. At Bancroft, expect more programs with homework help, and also a Respect Through the Arts middle school program that's being offered by the Connecting Generations nonprofit. Delaware FAME, that's an acronym for the Forum to Advance Minorities in Engineering, hopes to offer after-school programming in the STEM subjects, science, technology, engineering, and math, at both Bancroft and Byard. Athletics and swimming programs are being considered, and at Stubbs, the kindergarten center, there's talk of more reading and art programming after school. Special programming for vacation periods during the winter and spring breaks is also on the agenda. It's something that's being discussed, but the decisions, the details on how they would actually operate hasn't been resolved yet.
On the long-term radar, there's a couple of initiatives you point out in your story. One has to do with a fund that could help build programming. What's the concept here?
Okay, well, as part of the MOU, the state agreed to provide $1.5 million a year for what they call opportunity grants to help pay for these supplemental programs that we've just discussed. But the feeling is that funding beyond that level is probably going to be needed. So the state and the school district are tallying up the costs of all these proposed supplemental programs, and then they're going to reach out for foundation and corporate support to finance them, not only for this year, but to make them sustainable down the road. When they do that, or as they do that, and as the grant money that they're hoping to receive comes in, they're going to set up a new nonprofit organization that would handle the money and, you know, manage the distribution of the funds, and then, you know, be responsible for soliciting grants in future years.
The other long-term initiative that you mentioned would focus on teacher recruitment and retention. What's the outline of that?
Well, again, you know, this is something that's a little bit nebulous at this time. The MOU refers to this initiative as developing pipelines into Wilmington schools. The Department of Education's Office of Innovation and Improvement was given primary responsibility here, but so far it's Christina School District's Human Resources Department that seems to be doing most of the work. Broadly, the idea is to encourage students who are in the state's teacher training programs at UD, Delaware State, Wilmington University, to consider working in Wilmington schools and to make sure that they are well prepared for those assignments if they choose to move in that direction with their careers. Now, at this point, there haven't been any specific programs related to the MOU that have been created, but in terms of programs that have been going on for a while, Christina has talked to Wilmington University about increasing the coaching support that it provides to teachers who are participating in the Alternative Routes to Certification program. And they're also working with the University of Delaware, making sure that there's some component of trauma-informed teaching that goes into the classes that are offered at UD.
We'll also see the Dual Generation Center open next month at Stubbs. What will people see there? This is another kind of big piece of the MOU, right?
Okay, well, you know, dual generation, refers to obviously multiple generations. And at the lower end of the age spectrum, at Stubbs, there are now half-day preschool programs being offered in the morning for three-year-olds and in the afternoon for four-year-olds. And these programs are being offered right alongside the pre-kindergarten and kindergarten programs in this rebranded Stubbs Early Education Center. Now, the adult portion of the Dual Generation Center, which is on the building's second floor, will provide access to a range of state services. Counselors from the State Department of Labor will be able to help you look for a job or give you tips on writing a resume. The Department of Education and the Christina District will be offering adult education classes, plus some intergenerational programs that will show how children and adults can help each other learn how to read. A Department of Health and Social Services specialist will provide assistance in providing social services, applying for food benefits, hotel vouchers, other sorts of referrals. The Department of Services to Children, Youth, and Their Families will provide wellness programs, access to a child psychologist, dental screenings, and other services.
And while the state agencies are kind of the backbone of what's going on there, you note that there is an expectation that others are going to bring services in eventually, correct?
Yes, there are a lot of partnerships involved in this project. Children's and Family First, a Wilmington-based nonprofit, has been offering parental support programs at Stubbs for several years. Dual Generation Center Director Helen Anderson says she intends to invite the Delaware Financial Literacy Institute to offer money management classes at the center. Programs in home ownership, offered possibly by a nonprofit or by the Delaware State Housing Authority, are also a possibility. In addition to that, other state agencies beyond those that I've already mentioned, things like the State Division of Aging, plan to send their specialists to the Dual Generation Center on a part-time schedule, maybe once a week, maybe once or twice a month. Those details haven't been worked out yet, but you can expect a fairly broad range of state services to be dropping in and participating at the center.
Like the two reconfigured schools, this project is also a little bit behind schedule. What are some of the issues that they've faced in getting up and running?
Well, I think the most basic one was that the top priority here was getting those reconfigured schools, Byard and Bancroft, which are now serving first through eighth grade, open on time. And it took a little bit more time than the organizers had hoped. You run into glitches with rehabbing buildings all the time. And that slowed down the process all the way down the line. There was also work involved in getting the preschool component at Stubbs ready. All of these things led to delays at the Dual Generation Center, and as a result, the work on installing the electrical and communication lines that are needed for the telephones and computers and all the other technology didn't even get started until this week.
There's also the question of what's going to happen to the former Pulaski and Albert Palmer Elementary School buildings. Is there any update on the future of those two buildings?
Well, again, you know, those two schools were closed during this reconfiguration. Students who used to go to Albert Palmer and to Pulaski have now been moved over into Byard and Bancroft. There's a lot of talk about what might happen with these two buildings, but no decisions have been made yet. We do know that Christina is negotiating with a nonprofit, and they haven't said who, that's interested in operating programs at Albert Palmer that would benefit the Southbridge neighborhood. So these are not necessarily educational programs, but they are, you know, things that are, you know, community service in their orientation. There are also several groups that would like to set up programs at Pulaski to serve the Browntown-Hedgeville community. And from what I'm hearing, these are more likely to be things along the lines of Boys and Girls Clubs, you know, those sorts of organizations, after-school activities for youths. However, the obstacle that I'm hearing is Christina doesn't have the money to rehab and maintain the buildings, and the nonprofits that are interested in operating these programs at this point don't have the funds to do so either. So there's a lot of interest in programs at both of these buildings, but putting all the pieces together and making the contractual arrangements, that's still a little bit farther down the road.
How critical is James Simmons, the director of the Department of Education's Office of Innovation and Improvement, to making all this happen, and how is he characterizing the progress thus far?
Now, first, a little bit about Simmons. He succeeded Darrell Green in the job this spring after Green was named superintendent of the Red Clay School District. Simmons is a veteran from the Brandywine School District. He climbed the ladder there from teacher and coach to athletic director, assistant principal, and then district administrator. So he's had experience in enough roles to know how things ought to be working. And his job here is to keep everything on track, to make sure that all of the items in the MOU are implemented and that this occurs as quickly as possible. So he's got his finger on a lot of different things right now. Aside from being a little bit behind schedule, he's generally pleased with the way things are going. These are the words that he uses to explain it. We're not where we want to be, but we're moving to where we want to go.
And now that things are moving, how do the state and Christina assess them and keep them moving forward?
Okay, well, I mean, everyone involved admits that this has really been a pretty heavy lift to accomplish as much as has been gotten done thus far. Rick Gregg, who's Christina's superintendent, notes quite correctly that the most important piece was getting the students and the teachers into their new buildings and starting the learning process. With that accomplished, the district can now focus on getting more of these pieces of the wraparound programs into place. Like Simmons, the people in the governor's office wish that everything had been in place maybe a month or so ago, but no one there is criticizing their partners in Christina and the Department of Education for not meeting every goal in the timeline. What is important is that so far there really hasn't been any pushback from Christina's Wilmington constituency over what hasn't been done, what hasn't been completed. State Representative Sherry Dorsey Walker, who has been monitoring the situation, wasn't pleased that schools weren't in perfect condition on the first day, but she's impressed that everyone is working hard to ensure that the remaining pieces come together smoothly. Personally, I expect some more problems to crop up. There's no doubt that there are going to be some more glitches as the new after-school programs open up. But what's happening here is that the students at Byard and Bancroft and at Stubbs, and their families as well, now have access to services that they have not received before. And that's most definitely progress. How much progress? How much impact will it have? Those are questions that are going to take a lot more than one school year to answer.
All right, Nagin Guest, we appreciate your time and your reporting. Thanks for being with us on The Green.
You're quite welcome.